Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 43. Naivo dvije paradaratye avaitaranyas Tvadvirya gaina mahamrita magna chita So cheta tobi mukha cheta sa indriyata Maya sukaya baram udvahato vimudan. Na, not. Eva, certainly. Udvijay, I am disturbed or afraid. Para, supreme. Duratyaya, insurmountable, or very difficult to cross. Vaitaranya, of the Vaitarani, the river of the material world. Tvatvirya, of your lordship's glories and activities. Gayana, from chanting or distributing. Maham Amrita, and the great ocean of nectarian spiritual bliss. Magna Chitta, whose consciousness is absorbed. Shoche, I am simply lamenting. Tato, what tata, from that. Vimukha Chaitasaha, the fools and rascals who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. Indriya Artha, in sense gratification. Maya Sukhaya, for temporary illusory happiness. Param, the false burden or responsibility of maintaining one's family, society, and nation, and elaborate arrangements for that purpose. Udvahata, who are lifting by making grand plans for this arrangement. Vimudan, although all of them are nothing but fools and rascals. I am thinking of them also. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness, maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries in the material world, and this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as mudha, fools. The material world has been described in the Bhagavad Gita as dukaliyam ashasvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the world, material world, into sakalayam, a place of happiness. Not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. There is the plan for material nature, personally, known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands, with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lying character, carrier, or the modes of passion ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion ignorance and conquer material nature. But at the end, everyone is vanquished by material laws. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual world, and one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya, meaning, this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. The same word duratyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot pass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in the material world. Therefore, they have been described as mudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. For those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, those who are Krishna conscious trying to serve the Lord are not unhappy. Whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious, yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Naivo dvije para radatya naivo dvije para duratya vaitaranyas tva virya gayana mahamrita magna chitak so chet vimukha chetasa indriyarta maya sukhayam bharam udvahato vimudan. O great, best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. Wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintain their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Prahlad Maharaj is explaining about two aspects of our Krishna consciousness movement. First is to become Krishna conscious, and the second is to serve Krishna's mission. And they're both going on simultaneously. It's not necessary to first become Krishna conscious and then to try to serve Krishna's mission. That's not going to be possible. That by serving Krishna's mission and at the same time trying to become Krishna conscious, then one can come to the platform of Prahlad Maharaj. Now we should know what we're trying to achieve. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj said we're trying to achieve to become Krishna conscious. Krishna, his name, his form, his quality, and his pastimes are all transcendental and absolute. And they're all of the nature of spiritual knowledge, consciousness, and pleasure eternally. Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purno Shudo Nitya Mukto Binatvat Namanamino. That Krishna and his name are non-different. Now, if we chant Hare Krishna and we don't experience how Krishna's name is non-different, then we have some work to do. That is the science of Krishna consciousness. That's the work we're trying to do, is so that one day, that when we chant Hare Krishna, then we'll experience Krishna directly. Then we'll actually experience Krishna. First, Krishna will manifest to us as his name, then as his forms, then as his qualities, then as his pastimes, including his associates. Then when we chant Hare Krishna, and even if we don't chant Hare Krishna, because we'll always be chanting Hare Krishna one way or the other, then we'll actually be, externally, we'll see this creation as Krishna's pastime. And inside ourselves, remember, in our remembrance, we'll be able to experience with our transcendental senses Krishna's pastimes also. Prabhupada said, either on the battlefield Kurukshetra speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, or in Vrindavan in his transcendental pastimes, or Caitanya Mahaprabhu also in his Leela, which is non-different from the Vrindavan Leela. So that's our goal. Now, any step towards that goal will mean that we'll get higher and higher levels of consciousness. The closer we get, even if we're only in the sunlight, it's a lot better than being in darkness. And if you can arrive at the sun planet, it's even better than being in the sun, in the sunlight. And if you can meet the sun god, then you've reached the perfection. So similarly, at least we should try to get into the sunlight. We can't expect all of a sudden to meet the sun god. Levantate and fight. Stand and fight. That's what Krishna told Arjuna. Tasma tvam utishtiya sho lavasva jitva shutram vuksham rajan sridam mayayavata niyatam purvameva nimitra matram bhavasava sachin. Just get up and prepare to fight. Get up and prepare to fight. And after conquering your enemies, you'll enjoy this flourishing kingdom. They're put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savasachi, can be but the instrument in the fight. Actually, the other one is, Tasma agana sambudam ritstam jnana sanatmanaha chitvayanam samshayam yogam atishta bharata. These doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed with the weapon of knowledge, armed with yoga, O Bharata. Stand and fight! Slash it with the weapon of knowledge. Stand and fight. Now, it's better to be in the sunlight, even if we can't meet the sun god or be on the sun planet, and even if we're only in the sunlight, that we're just barely experiencing his heat and light. It's better than hiding out in the darkness somewhere, declaring that there is no sunlight. Because as soon as we're a little bit in the sunlight, experiencing a little bit of the heat, then automatically we realize, wow, there's a sun somewhere out there. We meant just like Prabhupada said, in the morning when the sun comes up, if it ever comes up around here, we don't know. We assume it's still coming up. Well, we do see, because we can see outside, it looks a little bit different than some hours ago. Not exactly like the summer, but there's a difference. Even if we don't see the sun, we can understand by the sunlight that the sun is there somewhere. Similarly, we can understand the presence of ourselves, the soul, by consciousness. The fact that we're alive and conscious means that we exist. Now, people don't like that idea nowadays. They've been trained to deny their own existence and think that actually they don't really exist, because the learned professor has told them that they don't exist. So now they don't really believe they exist anymore, although they act as if they exist, because they have nothing else to do. In other words, they deny the fact that they're a conscious being, separate, different from this dead material energy. They become so dull that they don't even think about it, that actually I seem to be different from the floor. But they never think about that. They're just afraid of becoming the floor again, or like the floor. So the first thing we have to do is realize when we're in darkness and when we're actually at least in some kind of light. Now, generally speaking, that's why we have sadhana bhakti, and especially five powerful processes, because they're supposed to, even when we try to be in darkness, we have to try very hard to remain in darkness if we're executing the five powerful processes, namely chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna, we become used to being in Maya while we're chanting Hare Krishna. that the chanting Hare Krishna doesn't, you know, hardly touch us. It's like the lotus, the analogy Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita about the lotus flowers untouched by water. So our consciousness is untouched by the Maha Mantra. I dare you to reveal yourself to me, Krishna. I got a lot of things to do and think about. I don't have time for you. Why don't you come back tomorrow when I chant my rounds again? No, we actually make a little effort, a tiny little effort, to try to pay some attention. And all these thoughts that are going through our mind, all these worries, all these ideas about past, present, future, and about what's going on in front of me and behind me and around me, if we just give them up for, you know, a little fraction of a second, try and pay some attention to what we're doing, and actually do it, then actually get a little bit into the light again. And then we can see, wow, I wonder why I wasn't, you know, what have I been doing all this time? And then Maya says, well, no, you got to turn around. And the little voice goes, why don't you try again? No, I don't have time. No, no, really try. It'll be all right. Hare Krishna, oh, wow. So that's our, we're going up and down like a yo-yo. So the idea is that by gradual purification, gradually, then we'll start thinking, hey, wait a sec, why am I just waiting? I'm here in these programs every day. I'm doing the same thing. And I'm usually worried about the same thing, one thing or another. Why don't I just try to be in the program for a while? Actually be there and actually see what it would be like if I actually chanted Hare Krishna and actually paid some attention to what I'm doing. Just, you know, try it one day of the year. It's my birthday, might as well try it. And then one can realize that, you know, I'm here, I'm chanting, I'm completely anxiety about so many things in this material world, about, you know, what's happening in my life, what's happening in my grandmother's life, what's happening in Slovenia, in the North Pole to the polar bears. I'm so much in anxiety about everything that's going on. And I'm supposed to, our philosophy says I'm eternal, that everyone's eternal. Arjuna was in the same position I was in. He was worried about everything also that was going on. And Krishna just told him at the end, Ma Sujaha, don't worry. You're eternal. They're all eternal. They're not going to die. You're not going to die. But you're just wasting your time in the material world. Change your consciousness. Be happy. Prasanatma. Be on the spiritual platform. And then try the process when you're on the spiritual platform. Chant when you're not in anxiety. Chant with attention. Chant with some feeling that you actually want to be engaged in Radha and Krishna's loving service. That I actually want to actually experience some feeling of happiness and love, not just do my activities officially, but actually do them devotionally. So this Prahlad Maharaj had perfected. It's not easy for most of us. We usually have to be crushed by material nature before we get we think about an alternative. All the things that we were planning for, all the success we thought we would achieve very easily has to be crushed before we start becoming a little bit more introspective. I'm trying for this so hard, I'm expecting success, and I got it for one moment and then it was crushed. Oh, why should I try for such a thing again? Maybe I should just be in the present and try to take advantage of Krishna consciousness. No matter what's going to happen in the future, try to get out of my hankering for some other situation, some arrangement in the material world to suit my needs, and stop lamenting over how in the past I tried so sincerely and so hard to perfect my life. And when I was 5 years old, I got a 90% on my math test instead of 100%. If only I could get into that time machine and go back to my 5-year-old body and take that test again, I know I'd get it right. I get that extra piece of candy. So that's material existence. Everyone's everywhere except for where they're supposed to be. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's actually in ecstasy when he's chanting Hare Krishna. He's actually remembering Krishna. He's actually with Krishna. He's actually in the spiritual world. And he's looking around and seeing everyone just wasting their time. Just making all these elaborate plans to make this world Sukhaya, Sukhalium. To make it a place of happiness. That all the polar bears will be saved. The penguins will be protected. The whales will swim freely. There'll be no more disease. The hospitals will enter, and we'll all be living here happily, enjoying like the hogs and the dogs sense gratification without any disturbance. So everyone's dreaming like that, but it's not going to happen. We may not see how the material nature is working, how by people performing sinful activities, they get sinful reactions. We may blame it on so many things, so many different causes, you know, why things are disturbed in the material world. Some animal market in the Wuhan or something. That's where everything, that's why we're not happy. But this material world, in one way or another, we're going to get everyone, including ourselves, are going to have to face the fact that we're in the material world. And this is a place where no one finds permanent security. No one finds at any moment real happiness that they're looking for, unless they're in Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad Maharaj was saying, these people are wasting so much time trying so hard to become happy, so sincere, and yet it all winds up to be a failure. Therefore, he's lamenting for them, but he's not just lamenting, crying in one corner. Someone comes, Prahlad, why are you lamenting? Oh, the sky is falling. Everything's bad. You're bad. We're all bad. No, he's actually making plans to deliver them. And his plans have been successful because we hear his preaching. Because by his preaching, his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, actually conditioned souls can be saved if they hear these prayers and understand what he's saying. Because Prahlad's still in Sutala, with Bali Maharaj, his grandson. And so he's also undoubtedly still preaching there. In any case, we can repeat Prahlad Maharaj's words, try to understand them, try to see how this world, what it actually is, and perhaps we don't feel great compassion every time we see a conditioned soul, our heart throbs in compassion, but we should at least feel compassion for one soul, ourselves, that we're in such a miserable state. Or as somewhere I once read, Krishnadas Kavir said, that I'm so fallen that I think I'm elevated. So at least we should feel compassion for ourselves. We're in this miserable condition of material existence, and we think we're doing quite well. We're just making plans to make it a little bit better, that's all. We're burning in the fire of material existence, and we're trying to add a little, you know, entertainment to it while we burn. So we can have a good time while we burn in the fire of material existence. Watch something interesting while the fire surrounds us. So one should realize the miserable state we're in. It may not be as miserable as others, and therefore people like to read the newspapers, for instance, to find out how miserable other people are in. Because then in comparison we think, well, I'm doing not so bad. It's pretty good here. Little problems with my teeth once in a while. My leg hurts. But, you know, at least I'm not in a place where, you know, there's a war going on. Therefore, I'm doing quite well. Nothing to worry about. And besides that, the game's on next week. So things are really looking up. So one should understand the state that we're presently in, and then we might realize why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to preach. We may not feel growing, you know, empathy and compassion for the soul, but at least we should understand that we're not exactly in the best position. Perhaps these other people aren't either. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to help me by also helping others. I think our translator is having a hard time there. So overwhelmed by compassion. So, at least then we should understand, then we can at least intellectually understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to spread this movement. We may not have so much feeling towards others, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has feeling towards others, and if we assist him, then he'll gradually reveal his feelings to us, and then we'll understand what his feelings are, and maybe we'll get a little bit of insight of what it means to be compassionate. And if we're compassionate to others, then we'll see why we should be especially compassionate to ourselves. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna.
You're next.
Thank you very much for a nice lecture. I wonder about this compassion Mahaprabhu, you mentioned, has towards everyone. Sometimes for us trying to do some preaching for Sankirtan or other projects, it looks like a slow process, or it seems that we are, at least me, pretty much incapable. So how to reach this compassion of Mahaprabhu?
That's good that we think we're incapable. But as Prabhupada, when the devotee was telling Prabhupada, as we've heard many times, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada had two responses that I heard. One is that if you're the most, you're not the most anything. And the second response was, if you're the most fallen, why don't you do something about it? So if we feel incapable, we should know that the secret of becoming capable is to take shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Take shelter of Krishna in that way. And they can make us capable. If we try to become capable on our own, we'll be very limited. And there's nothing we can do on our own, as it's said in that verse here. Prakriti kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha. This false idea that we're doing the doer and that we can improve ourselves without Krishna is just a false idea. It won't lead us anywhere. So it's not just, we have a choice whether we want to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission or not. If we want to do good for ourselves and others, we have no other choice but to do that. And then they'll empower us. They'll make us better at what we're doing. Krishna consciously, at least. We may not be able to do, as I said before, backflip and do 15 instead of 5 by taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at least they'll give us a higher consciousness. So we'll understand more clearly what we're doing and how to take shelter of him even more. How to become even a better instrument for him. Let him direct us and guide us and take control of us through his internal energy. Anything? Yes.
What does it mean to be compassionate towards oneself?
It means to perform devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That's our real self. Compassion for this body, we always have. Someone, if we stub my toe. Oh, my toe. Oh, please. I'm so... We rub it and, put it in water and pray, don't get swollen. I love you. We're very compassionate to ourselves. But to be compassionate to ourselves, then we should understand that we're a spiritual being and take shelter of the process of devotional service. If the poor little spark is out of the fire, then compassion is to pick it up and put it into the fire. So we should see that I'm a poor little spirit spark. I should put myself back into the fire. That's compassion. Otherwise, I'm sitting there going, oh, I'm suffering. So Krishna's saying, all right, pick yourself up, put yourself in the fire. Oh, okay. That's compassion. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. In in commentary, one sentence caught my attention. This is second paragraph. When Prabhupada describing Durga as a personality who punished the demons, and she's carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion ignorance. Can you, at first I'm hearing this, that she's carried by passion and ignorance.
Well, the lion represents that.
But what, sattva?
The lion doesn't represent sattva. Durga is not interested in chastising the people in sattva. And there are different degrees of sattva. Even one who's in sattva, he's not pure sattva, means vishuddha sattva. Therefore, even Brahma, to some extent, is being chastised, but not to the same extent that others. The more one gets into the modes of ignorance and passion, the more one is chastised by the material nature. But the material nature is chastising everyone. Therefore, it said, dukhalayama shasvata. Only one who takes complete shelter of Krishna can pass beyond material nature.
So here specifically is mentioned demons, and now you mentioned other contrast, only who completely surrenders to Krishna. What about those in the middle?
They're semi-demons. They're aspiring to become devotees, but they still carry on with them some of their bad habits, so to speak.
So they are punished by Durga?
We're punished by Krishna. Durga is, no, when one is aspiring to become a devotee and takes the path of devotional service, Durga is not in charge, Krishna takes charge.
Durga, I mean Krishna via Yoga Maya.
Maya helps, I mean Maya is also Durga. So Maya, as it says, yogas chalati manasa, Maya will try to test the devotee in so many ways and try to lure away from Krishna consciousness. But if this devotee remains fixed in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will give all protection.
So this is probably connected with the rehabilitation of the free will.
Yeah, Durga is there to punish us so that we can understand that we have no alternative other than to take shelter of Krishna. But we're a little bit frivolous, and therefore we take shelter of Krishna, we get some bliss, we get some knowledge, and we say, thanks a lot, Krishna. Let's see what it would be like to apply this in my material life again. Now I've been enlightened. Now I know how to enjoy and control the material world. Then we try it out, and Durga says, oh, you think I went away? Well, you're wrong. I'm right here for you. Whack, whack. Oh, Krishna, help.
There is another question connected with this topic. Here is mentioned that Durga has 10 weapons. Usually we hear the Maya has three dent, Adhyatmika, Adhibodhika, Adhidevika. Know what are these 10 weapons and connected
well,
with some conclusions?
That's all there in the scripture, but I don't know how it's connected with anything. But the 10 weapons are for the 10 directions.
Mm.
That's what it means. Up, north, south, east, west, northeast, etc. Up and up and down.
Mm.
That's what it refers to. You can't escape Maya here. He's everywhere.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Krandaro Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.